Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We need to move our criminal justice system into the direction of the 21st century.
The public should be outraged by this.
We need to use science and data in order to address public safety, but violent crime.
His data and science is completely flawed.
Nobody's safe in Los Angeles because of District Attorney Gaston.
We are very, very concerned about his policies.
You will see that not only have I enhanced public safety.
I am absolutely outraged at the lies that Mr. Gaston is spewing.
He has no business implementing laws of his own personal choice, which we voted against.
We've done so in a way that is much more both physically and socially responsible.
Not only is he breaking the law, but he is not doing what he is supposed to do as a district attorney, and that is protect his victim.
Gaston is an advocate for criminals.
I truly believe that he is in the wrong office. He should have been a public defender.
He's voted in, he can be voted out.
Salute.
Celebrating us going home on this Gaston direct.
Crime is at a historic low in this nation, a historic low in the state.
That's a bunch of baloney to me.
And now, for an update on the recall of L.A. County District Attorney George Gaston, here's John and Ken.
Podonic. John and Ken show.
Podonic.
John Cobell, Ken Champeau. It's KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Happy to host another edition of Recall George Gaston. And
Podonic is the Russian word for
scum.
Putin apparently was using that word today to describe the traitors in Russia.
Yeah, well, it fits for a lot of people. And on the Gaston recall front, Steve Cooley is coming on here, the former L.A. County District Attorney back when we had good ones. And now he's leading this effort to get Gaston out of office, and they've got news today. Steve, how are you?
Well, good. I just want to clarify one thing. It's some next of kin of murder victims who have been leading the effort and inspired me and many others to join in what looks like a very, very promising recall. Things are really going well.
All right. Talk about the news today on the signatures and the money raised.
Well, 125,000 signatures with thousands coming in virtually every day. And the way it works, as I've been told by experts, is that you start out with certain numbers, and it's not arithmetic. It's more geometric, and it's more exponential. So it kind of doubles on itself, like interest, I guess. And so the predictions are from the experts that we're right on track to get the signatures in, many more than the 566,000 needed, right on track to get them in by July, maybe even a tad earlier. And then on the money front, $3.5 million is substantially more than was raised in the last effort, which had a lot of enthusiasm and not much money. But that is also a good sign because money follows a winner in politics, and this looks like it's going to be a winner.
Is it true that there were some sort of West Side Entertainment people that had given to this effort, which you know some media took as a bit of a surprise?
I read that story also, and I think that was in reaction to the murder of Ms. Avant in Beverly Hills and the fact that Beverly Hills has been hit really hard with smash-and-grab robberies and other incidents, which is not the usual thing over there. And they decided, the leaders and people with money, that they, too, want a safe Los Angeles County, and they, too, want to get rid of George Gaston. They perceive him as connected with the problem, maybe the problem, and they want him out. And I did read a story where many prominent people have on the West Side are getting behind the campaign and networking and talking to each other and saying basically enough is enough.
Yeah, I don't think we've talked to you this before, but, you know, you were DA for quite a while. 33 cities in L.A. County voted no confidence in Gaston in addition to Beverly Hills. You ever heard of anything like that before?
It's unheard of. As a matter of fact, in the 172-year history of Los Angeles County, I don't think there's ever been a vote of no confidence by a city in a constitutional officer ever. So this is historic. Now we got 33. I think there were maybe a couple more this week on top of that. So it is historic. One would be historic, 33, 34, 35. That is historic of biblical proportions in terms of no confidence.
And then you had 90% of the deputy, 98% of the deputy district attorneys who voted on their ballot to support the recall.
In favor
of the recall. Yeah. I mean, that probably
didn't surprise you as much, Steve, since you spent many years in that
office. Those numbers are astronomical. You can't get a group of deputy DAs together and have them agree about whether the sun is out or not, and they agree about this, that Gascon has to go, Gascon should be recalled. And the turnout, too, wasn't just 98% said Gascon should be recalled. It was like 83% voted. That's just not what they do. That's a very, very high turnout. So I think there's a lot of energy there, and I think that's translating into a lot of deputy DAs shirking off this guy, not being afraid of him, and getting out and collecting signatures and circulating petitions.
Do you think people feel betrayed, fooled by Gascon? Because a lot of supporters of Gascon say, hey, this is what he said he would do when he ran. Why is everybody upset? And I think most people were paying attention to this race in great detail. What is your analysis?
I think you're totally right, and he did not say what he was going to do when he ran. He was sort of subdued, quiet, I'm a reform kind of guy, some new ideas and maybe some changes. He was never specific about not representing victims at life or parole hearings and leaving the poor victims next of kin having to fend for themselves against the murderer's lawyer and the murderer. He never said he was going to not file all sentencing enhancements according to the law. He never said that he was going to not file a whole array of very important misdemeanors in 78 of the county's 88 cities, which he's responsible for, and the unincorporated parts of Los Angeles County. He never said that. And quite frankly, people, I don't think, realize that some of his policies would work out in such a dramatic way right in front of their eyes, the Tubbs case, the Avant case, smash-and-grab robberies, all kinds of Prop 47 problems. I don't think anyone fully appreciated it until they saw it. Well, now they've seen it, and now they want to change it.
You mentioned the Tubbs case. I mean, we talked about that for days. I think that really resonated with people about just how wrong this DA is. And, of course, it even got him to say, yeah, I think the sentence was a little light.
Well, you know what motivated him was a publication of the tape-recorded statement between Tubbs and his father, where Tubbs is basically laughing at the system.
Right.
And I think that really, really got under the skin of the law-abiding public. They want their criminal justice system to work, to be fair, to be accurate, and to punish appropriately, not to be laughed at by some vicious predator, sexual assaulter of a child.
Did you see the polling on Chesa Boudin, the San Francisco DA, who's up for recall very soon? It looks like I did.
I think he's a dead man walking. It's very hard to unring a negative, and Boudin's negatives are very, very high and very, very solid. And quite frankly, from the polls I've seen about Gascon, his negatives are very high. It's hard to unring that negative bell. If you're painting against a clear backdrop, and you have all sorts of money to spend to build someone up, and no one knows about him, yeah, you can make some positives out of something. But when a voter decides they don't like somebody, that's generally it. They're not going to change their mind, and I think the voters overwhelmingly do not want George Gascon. They don't like him. They don't trust him, and it causes fear.
It's interesting. Whatever the word liberal means to people, you've got two mainly liberal cities, L.A. and San Francisco. Apparently, it doesn't mean destruction of the criminal justice system.
Yes, and I think that public safety is nonpartisan across the board. It doesn't matter about political affiliation or your religion or anything else. It's really public safety is just the kind of thing that all law-abiding citizens want to have. And when they don't have it, they're not happy. And when they're not happy, they vote against people like George Gascon.
All right, so you're hopeful that this could appear if you get these signatures on the November ballot this year.
Oh, yes. They consulted with lawyers and professionals. They mapped it all out really down to a T. And no, it's on schedule to be in the November ballot. And I think that's going to be a done deal. If he gets on a ballot, I can guarantee you he will be recalled. The people want him recalled. The trick is get those signatures in a timely manner, submit them to the Register Recorder, and put his name on a ballot, and he is history.
And right. One more exciting thing I've never seen before, a recall app is coming out, huh?
Well, I got to check that one out. You guys email me that one?
No, it's in the press release. Yeah, a recall app will serve as a hub
for all
volunteer.
Why don't you read those things more often?
Yeah. Provide L.A. County residents with an easy way to get involved. A Gascon
recall
app.
They had the website, recalldhageorgegascon.com. That's certainly an easy way to get involved. You get right on there, download those petitions, circulate them around, sign them yourself. It's really easy in this day and age of electronic communication. People can get more involved when they otherwise might not have. And so that's just go on the website, recalldhageorgegascon.com.
All right, Steve Cooley, thanks for talking to us again.
Okay, thank you, guys.
All right.
That is the former Los Angeles County District Attorney, Steve Cooley. He was replaced by Jackie Lacey, and those were the good old days.
Yes.
Now we're stuck with George Gascon, who's up for a recall. And again, that website, recalldhageorgegascon.com. Just remember, you have to be an L.A. County registered voter, but they're off to a pretty good start. They've got until July to collect the needed over 600,000 signatures to get a recall vote in November.
John and Ken, KFI. John and Ken Show, John Cobalt and Ken Champeau, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Speaking of the app, You can contribute to the Moist Line through the TalkBack feature on the iHeartRadio app for KFI.
Oh.
If you would like to do that, or you can leave a message at our toll-free number, 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. But there is a feature on the iHeartRadio app called Talk Back, where you could leave the John and Ken Show a message.
Right.
Of, I guess, a Moist Line nature.
Right. So the Moist Line is now in the palm of your hand.
The Moist Line is now gone high tech with an app feature called Talk Back.
That could potentially create a much greater yield of calls, right?
Are you going to say a game changer?
Could be a game changer.
I love the overused expression, a game changer.
For Eric's life. He could suddenly get
sit there
multiples, right? Because you have to go out of your way to call and wait for the recording. But now
people have the app all over the planet.
Sure.
We might even get a Russian call calling us scum.
Yes. If there are any iHeartRadio John and Ken listeners in Russia, wow, that would be fun.
Get their perspective.
We certainly would welcome your Moist Line edition. You could even give us, a pro-Putin speech.
Pro-Putin.
Happy to hear from you.
Well, two major British airlines and London's Heathrow Airport announced they are dropping their mask mandates over the next month. How about that? No masks in the airport and on the planes anymore. Woohoo! Not happening here. British Airways and Virgin Atlantic provided statements to Heathrow indicating that they would follow suit. Heathrow announced it will drop its mask requirements starting Wednesday, but still strongly encourages travelers to continue covering their faces.
I'm always going to wear a mask on a plane.
Always?
You are forever?
Yep. Not for COVID.
She doesn't even hesitate.
No, I don't want to. It drives me insane when people have that loose cough and they're sneezing and, I can't stand it. So I'm going to wear a mask.
A loose cough.
So gross. Yeah.
You know, though, it's not a guarantee.
I know it's not a guarantee, but at least I'm being proactive. I'm doing something. It will make me feel better.
You know, I sat next to a guy once for 9 hours who coughed violently. He had to stand up and cough.
I would die.
9 hours?
9 hours. We were going New York to L.A., and first 3 hours, we were stuck on the ground in Newark.
Oh.
He sat down next to me, and he was a big, flabby guy.
Did you give him a dirty look?
And he... It was beyond. It went on for 9 hours. you could go ew at him a couple of times, but and he really had something serious. I just figure it's tuberculosis.
It's a good thing you didn't get it.
It was everything but coughing up blood. And he was just hacking, and there was no way to get away from it. So we sit around the tarmac for 3 hours. We finally lift off, and then it's 6 hours on the plane. You know, by the time you fly and you land and you're sitting on the tarmac in LAX, it's like, oh, Oh, and plus the noise too starts to drive you mad because it was just, there was lots of phlegm and goo and viral loads. And I didn't get sick from it though.
And you didn't move?
There's nowhere to move.
The aisle. Well, look, I would know, there's no way I would be standing or sitting next to that guy. I would cause such a ruckus, I'd be thrown out.
Who was going to trade with me?
Hey, nobody. That's true.
You want to sit next to the guy with tuberculosis?
The TSA announced today that they investigated more than 3,800 incidents of potential violations involving the federal mask mandate, which, by the way, officially is still in place in this country until at least April 18th. They will reassess the necessity of wearing a mask on the airplanes sometime right before that and make an announcement. Maybe the British can lead the way here to making it optional. And I will mock Deborah Mark on my next flight.
I just can't believe how much manpower and how much money they must have spent investigating thousands.
Almost 4,000 cases, yeah.
Yeah, almost 4,000 mask complaints.
Yep. You realize they issued 2,700 warning notices, and they did issue civil penalties in 900 instances.
You got to read all the paperwork. You got to talk to the witnesses, the accused. You got to process.
But if there's no enforcement, then there's no.
Who cares? I mean, I read that and said, "What did it matter?"
Well, except if the guy had a meltdown and punched the flight attendant.
But now that's a different crime there. This was just people refusing to wear a mask primarily.
Don't they throw you off the plane? Or I guess you could take it off while you're in flight.
Well, maybe it did. Then it did lead to altercations.
I saw a couple people get ejected from the plane during the last 2 years.
You know what's weird? I mean, there's certain places you can't win, and a plane is one of them. Like in the grocery store, you know, you just keep running, right?
Yes, I know.
You're
trapped on a plane.
Ahead of the assistant manager is waddling after you. It's like, what is the guy going to do, right?
Yeah.
And here in California, you don't even have to pay for your food at grocery stores. You know, paying is optional. So you can just grab a bunch of stuff.
Shoplifting.
Right, yeah. If they don't want to check you out because you're not wearing a mask, it's like, okay, just give me a bag. I'll be out of here.
Just hold up the hunk of meat and say, Prop 47. See you. Less than 950 right here.
Not anymore, though.
Citation, if anything. They don't even bother. It says here, in instances where passengers' refusal to wear a mask does interfere with crew members' abilities to perform their jobs, the FAA can issue fines and refer the cases for prosecution. They had 6,000 unruly passenger reports, of which more than 4,200 were mask-related. This is last year.
It's given me a new game to play, though. When I go to the grocery store, drugstore, Whole Foods, I now put together stereotypes on who's likely to wear a mask and who isn't.
Oh, okay, because we're at a point now where a lot of people are not.
No, but there are types that are wearing the mask.
Well, I'm very nice. I look at the sign on the door to see if there is one.
Yeah, they're all gone.
There's a place I went to today that still had please wear a mask.
What is it?
It was a restaurant chain.
Is it please wear a mask or you must wear a mask?
Oh, you know, I didn't. It just said out of a courtesy to our employees. Yeah, I think it just said please wear a mask.
Yeah, that's tricky wording, but I'm looking for required.
Oh, I see.
No one without a mask is permitted. That kind of very definitive legal language. If it doesn't say something definitive, then I'm not wearing it. And then I stand in line and laugh at the people who are wearing it. And I tell you, young West Side women, young to middle-aged West Side women, the most predominant mask wearer.
Yes. That's Deborah Mark.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Maybe not as young as she is.
Thanks, Ken. Jeez.
You do want our audience to think you're 30. Is that what we're going with?
No, I thought 25 would be better. Oh, I had my kids very young.
You look really young.
Thank you.
Yeah, you got kids like with their own kids, right?
Oh, God, please. No, I'm not a grandmother.
See? Someday you will be, and you're going to regret acting like that.
Well, because I'm not ready now. I'm too young to be a grandma.
And she won't acknowledge the kid.
But your children are a childbearing age. It could happen.
Oh, okay.
John and Ken Show, John Cobalt and Ken Shampoo, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Well, in news this afternoon, Jussie Smollett's getting out of prison.
Yeah.
A state appellate court ruled in Illinois that he can be out on bond while his lawyers appeal his conviction for staging the hate crime. So when he got a 150-day sentence and only served a few days.
Why is this?
They made a decision.
Why is this? There's a lot of people appealing their convictions. Why is he getting special treatment? He was on a psych ward a few days ago.
He does have to pay a bond of 150 grand for the release. I don't know. Don't they usually decide that if they think you might have strong merits in your appeal?
I don't know.
You can be released because... I don't
know. It's outrageous.
It's outrageous. Yeah. Oh, it says he would not have to dig into his pockets to get out of jail. He would only owe money if he skipped his court dates. I see. Oh, that's kind of how it's going to work. Now, meanwhile, the El Segundo Times had this really irritating story the other day that Cal State University executives, a small group, who were either let go or quit their posts, are still being paid more than $4 million in salary and benefits. It's some sort of special clause they got in their contract called the Executive Transition Program, the ETP.
And they transition for millions of dollars.
Yes, this is really lucrative.
You know, and it doesn't
really... One of them is a former chancellor resigned because he mishandled sex abuse and workplace misconduct complaints. He was president of Fresno State.
Well, that's got to be a challenging job, huh?
President of Fresno State.
Fresno State. Guy's name is Joseph Castro. And they get an enormous amount of money.
They do. You get full medical, vacation, other benefits and salaries, which accrue towards their pensions. They're called transition salaries. They're typically paid for a year. And for work that's as stupid as providing advice and counsel. One Cal State Northridge president received more than $275,000 for a year.
Yeah. There was a chancellor named Timothy White who resigned in January 2021, and he's going to get a salary of $327,000 for 2 years.
He has to transition.
Is there an operation involved?
Transitioning gender? No.
I mean, those can be expensive, I understand.
Well, they started this in 1981, this transition program. It's another perk to try to get these guys to take the job, but really?
And they
always tell us this. It's hard to find good executives for these positions. It's very competitive.
Apparently, they're not that good because they're getting released left and right. Two of them over not handling sex harassment cases properly.
Yes.
So the woke police came and got them. And then they get these salaries for a couple of years and then various perks, you know, like a free car. And then they get hired back as a professor. But it's usually one of those professor jobs where you didn't have to show up very much.
Yeah, that Timothy White resigned in January of last year. He's receiving an annual salary of $327,744 for 2 years until the end of this year. He also gets a $24,000 car allowance for the period and payment for any other Cal State-related travel costs and incidental expenses. This agreement was approved by the dopey board chair, Lillian Kimball.
So the Fresno State guy, Joseph Castro,
yeah,
$401,000 a year until February 2023 and an $8,000 monthly housing allowance for 6 months.
Isn't Cal State the outfit that keeps raising tuition?
Yeah. This is why. Diane Harrison, Cal State Northridge president, $277,000 a year. She was your president?
Yeah.
What was she like? She a dope?
She didn't really do much.
It's a quick assessment.
So her duties were described after she's done as president. Dr. Harrison has been available to the chancellor for advice and counsel on matters pertaining to the California State University. Dr. Harrison.
Dr. Harrison has served as a source of historical information and organizational context during multiple conversations with students and staff at the Northridge campus.
A source of historical?
Historical information and organizational context. Talk about the jargon.
Yeah, Diane, what year did they install the toilets over at the cafeteria? It was historical.
Former San Jose State President Mary Papazian resigned last year, and again, her handling of sex abuse allegations. She's being paid almost $291,000 until December.
I love how these woke heads are knocked off by other woke heads because they didn't follow the proper...
Yeah, they took out a lot of these people.
Yeah, it was all over sex abuse. What is going on? How much sex abuse...
They're not the abusers. They just didn't handle the investigation properly.
Right, but how much sex abuse is going on? How many investigations? I mean, knocks off so many presidents? Listen to this. Papazian will become a faculty member in San Jose in the Department of English and Comparative Literature. Boy, that sounds like a waste of time, huh? What kind of job do you get out of that department?
You do a lot of comparing.
You do a lot of comparing. You get a degree in comparative literature, and then what do? You go work in a library?
She said in an email response she's advised colleagues and made herself available regarding advice to navigate the challenges of leading their campuses during a time of significant complexity, disruption, and transformation. Boy, they really have all...
Complexity, disruption.
These are written by a PR firm.
Oh, it's so complex.
It's the pandemic.
Everything.
Those are the words to use now.
Everything is getting transformed.
The whole world was roiled by the pandemic. It's my favorite Segundo Times word, roiled.
We're roiled. I woke up roiled this morning.
Did you really?
I don't know why. I just feel roiled.
Usually you take a glass of water, you feel better.
Usually it's dehydration leads
you
to roiling.
Unroil yourself. All right, we got more.
What a bunch of crooks. Crooks. John and Ken, KFI. Classic LA Times story.
Oh, yeah?
With composting, Californians can take climate change into their own hands. With a photo of two wieners tending to their compost pile. They have a huge pile of rotting fruits and vegetables that they've thrown out. And one wiener is dumping vegetables out of a tub, and the other one, who's outdoors and wearing a mask, he's got a shovel. And he's rearranging the pile. And their names are Yoichi Nagano and Esco Robinson. And they are LA Compost volunteers.
Yeah, apparently this story started off with a woman that just couldn't stop thinking about her kitchen scraps. Teresa Leon.
I bet you these two guys.
She knew they weren't really trash, and she kept thinking they're going to go into a landfill where they'll decompose, and it'll be horrible for the environment. So she got to a group called LA Compost, and they sit there and they throw in broccoli stems and coffee grounds and banana peels into a...
They watch vegetables rot.
They sit there and rake them and... Yeah.
Let's go over to the compost pile and watch.
So she's learned to successfully compost her food waste.
And you know, the earth is already cooler.
I guess it's really, she felt a sense of relief.
Somebody's got to tell her she's taking on those 1,000 new coal-fired generator plants they're building in China.
You know, the story is a James Rainey special.
Oh, I know.
I thought he was gone.
That.
He's still there.
No, he came back. James Rainey, yeah.
The pandemic that got some people knitting and others remodeling their homes drove others to plant vegetable gardens and to reconsider their relationship with food.
Some people started knitting?
Including leftover fruits and vegetables. They might feel powerless against global climate change, but at least they can keep onion skins and carrot peels out of the landfill.
I am powerless against global climate change.
But I can do my part.
Yes. I can shovel these old tomatoes into my compost
imagine
pile.
That carrot peels and onion skins are destroying the environment.
Yeah, that's what's destroying it, right? Not the 50 billion cars on the road.
So people are going there and getting their hands dirty with mulch as they learn how to compost.
Oh, my God.
This woman, by the way, is a special effects artist in Hollywood.
Yeah, and there's
a composting Zoom class she took, learning about gardening and more.
And they have close-up of the rotting vegetables with all kinds of dirt and mold growing on. That's great.
Well, you can make it into like a real garden to grow other plants and vegetables.
Sure.
So
I'd love
that's
to
what
spend,
you do with the compost.
I'd love to spend all my free time on that.
It replenishes nutrients in the soil.
Join Esco. We got Conway here.
Hey now. Hey, the one rule of thumb that I have for everybody listening is never eat tomatoes that are growing in the wild. Right? Like, you know, growing in a garden, that's fine. But if you ever see tomatoes growing behind, like, a, I don't know, like a Home Depot or something, never eat them.
That's a good idea.
I won't do that.
It's the one seed that survives the digestive system of a human being.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So, you know, guy takes a...
I see. Right.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
They're called, I think, black tomatoes.
All right.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
You don't want to absorb
don't
that.
Don't eat wild
system.
Tomatoes, man.
No. All right.
No, good.
That's a good tip.
Yeah, very good.
Good
very
nutritional good. Tip there.
I gave it to a buddy of mine, Kevin O'Donnell, a little late. He was halfway through the tomato. Corbin Carson's coming on tonight. He's got big news. And also, Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Davis with the he's a retired 21 years with the U.S. Army to talk about what's going on over in Ukraine, as well as the attack on Pearl Harbor and September 11th. We'll talk about all that stuff. And then we also have 8 injured when a car crashed in Riverside Middle School. That's horrible. A horrible story. And I saw an accident today. I was in Glendale, and I saw a woman, a little older, right, hit the accelerator instead of the brake and went right over the parking lot, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, bad news.
I think that happens every day in supermarket lots.
Yeah. I bet, you know, in Glendale, it probably happens. I mean, you know, Glendale's like Burbank. You know, this thing is in Burbank, you know, that's where old people go to visit their parents.
Because about 10 o'clock in my grocery store, it's almost all elderly people.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so you got to be careful in the parking lot. Right. There is.
Yo, you always have to look around.
No, a lot of flattened bodies.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't text in that parking lot of the grocery store.
All right, Conway's
all right,
coming
ding
up.
Ding dong.
Ding dong.
Is the news.
Come on, ring the bell. Ding dong.
KOST, HD2, Los Angeles, Orange County, live everywhere in the iHeartRadio app.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.